when you absolutely, positively gotta clear everything out of the room, baby, by tomorrow. The doctor says he's coming, but you got to pay him cash. 866-313-3733, and the phones are lit. We're talking up about the recent vice president spraying his buddy here. I want to clarify something. We're getting emails and stuff. No, I am not an expert. What I said was on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being an expert, I'm a solid 2, okay? That's 1 degree north of basic rookie stooge. I'm perhaps one of the most accomplished basic rookie stooges when it comes to gun handling, but I know enough to know that I don't know enough to go hunting with it. Go ahead,
Peter. How would you rate yourself on safety?
100%. 110%. Any kind of shoulder-fired weapon, any kind of sidearm, anything up to and including squad automatic, I'm familiar with. In any kind of a situation as far as how to work around others in a safety environment. But in terms of actually going and confronting something in the Great Woods, I don't have that experience, and because I don't live next to the woods, I wouldn't attempt it. I think it's okay if that's part of your life. If that's really something you do again and again and again, great. Otherwise, 866-313-3733. I don't know, you got any girls listed up there? Not yet. Jay, talk to me. Go ahead, Hedge. Roth Radio, you're on. Hit it, Jay.
Dave, good morning. How you doing?
Great, man. What's cooking?
Hey, I don't know why this would surprise you with Dick Cheney. I mean, this guy has showed a real cavalier attitude about a lot of things, you know? And a whole feel that the rules don't apply to him. Yeah, they're rules, but they don't apply to me, that kind of thing.
Sure. And they think that this is now extending to his gun handling?
Of course. I mean, why would he have respect? This is a guy who, when the troops said, we're getting blown up, we don't have enough army, he says, hey, man, people get blown up. It's a war. Yeah, thanks, Dick. You
know? Okay, so what you're saying is that, like the Buddhists say, there is no one isolated incident in life. If you're generally good, then good happens around you. And that if your life is difficult, difficult happens to everybody else who's next to you. Is that correct?
Exactly. And I'll tell you what, given his history, I would have not gone on this hunting trip with Dick Cheney.
How, given which kind of history? You're talking into the great outdoors or his political history?
His history in the public sector. I mean, what have we seen him, you know? He's still pulling a check from his old company. You know, the rules don't apply to him. I wouldn't have walked into the woods with this guy if he's got a gun.
That's a very interesting take I didn't think of. Thanks, Jay. Roth Radio, 866. Always something new you didn't expect around the corner on our telephone system. Just move on down the line there, Hutch. Take the next call. Roth Radio, you're in the spotlight.
That's Mark.
Mark, go ahead, brother. Hit up.
Good morning, Diamond Dave.
Hit it up, brother. Go ahead.
Hit it up. Listen, is there a difference between shooting a gun and properly handling a gun that you think...
Say that one more time, please. Go ahead.
See, there's been shooting the gun and properly handling the gun.
There absolutely is. There is a huge difference. It's an art form.
I'll tell you what happened to me. When I was 14 years old, my father, rest in peace, had a gun, and he took me out to the range. Because I knew he had the gun because he was in business as a contractor, and he carried it for personal protection. And we used to talk about it from time to time. And one day, he took me out to the range, and he put the gun down with himself and an instructor. And, you know, I had all the earpiece on there, the goggles, the whole bit. And he said, all right, go ahead, get your jollies out. And just from watching everybody else, I picked up the gun in my right hand, laid into the palm of my left hand, and out of the 5 shots, I got 3 direct bullseye hits. And the instructor said, how'd you do that? And I said, well, I was watching everybody else. But it wasn't that he wanted me to learn how to shoot the gun. He wanted me to learn how to handle it, and if I ever found the gun, how to properly pick it up and show it to somebody without getting hurt or hurting someone else.
And do you recommend that for all the general listeners today?
I think less kids can get killed because, worst case, in Philadelphia here last year, a little kid found a gun, he stole his toy, and accidentally shot and killed his sister.
There you go.
He was properly taught how to do with that, either get somebody else or take that gun to someone and hold it in a proper way, no one would have been dead.
Okay, I agree with you. Thanks for calling in here. You know, he's talking about an issue that I've taken a lot of flack for in my entire broadcast career, which is roughly 5 weeks long. Seriously, I've maintained that there has to be an installed federal program to educate young people and even adults. If you're old enough and smart enough to operate a motor vehicle, then you gotta pass a gun safety course. And just like we see for driver's education, you gotta see all the damage videos, you gotta see all the films of everybody who's gotten shot. We're gonna do some aversion therapy. And then you gotta start training people with the most basic stuff, like all guns are always loaded, okay? I've always maintained that if you don't teach kids, by the time they're 14, they have have two experiences with loaded firearms minus adult supervision on average. Many inner city kids have a lot more experiences with it. Somebody pulls it out of their locker at school. Somebody pulls it out of from underneath the bed at a party. Somebody says, look what I found in my dad's drawer. I decided to bring it to the park. And there's never an adult around for those kinds of things. And somebody said, well, wait, if you teach kids how to handle a gun, when would there ever be a case when you would want a 13-year-old to know how to pick up and unload a gun or to pick up and place one carefully? Well, suppose your 7-year-old finds daddy's gun underneath the bed while you guys are at work. And the only one who's left in the house is your 12-year-old. Okay? What are you going to do? You're going to call the cops and wait 20 minutes while little Junior plays games, Elmer Fudd style? Hey, let's see what's down the barrel. Go ahead, Bion.
About a year ago, I went to a shooting range just to shoot a gun, to try it out. And I went in there. I just had to show my license and a couple things. They gave me this 9mm, showed me what to do. I went into the room. It's an indoor shooting range. And I was scared loading the bullets. And nobody was even there to help me. They just handed me the gun and the bullets and said, go in there and point. And, you know, there should have been a guy standing next to me telling me some stuff.
Yeah, that sounds like an error on the shooting range here. That sounds like danger. And it sounds like somebody didn't take the accountability into account to care for you and the others in the facility. And that's exactly the kind of nonsense I'm talking about.
While I was loading the cartridge, a guy a few rows down shot, and I practically jumped out of my skin because I was like,
pah! You're not used to it. Of course, nobody trained you. The first thing you got to get used to is the sound, the report. Second thing you got to get used to is the kick. The second, third thing, on and on and on. I maintain that if you don't teach kids this, then the kids have to figure it out on their own when mommy and daddy aren't around, and that's a life and death issue here. Go ahead and give me Alex. Come on, man. Number 8, you're in. Hit it up,
what
Al.
Say, David?
How are you today? Go ahead,
good.
Friend.
I think everybody's missing the point here. All these experts. I'm not an expert, Dave. I've been hunting for over, you know, close to 30 years. I bow hunt. I use my shotgun. I do small game hunt. Bottom line, the first rule of safety, Dave, with using a firearm is taught to us at 10 years old and up. Beware of your shot and beyond. And Mr. Dick did not do that. And on top of that, he should be charged with something. I mean, I was reading the paper this morning. Somebody got peppered pretty good. Come on, it's a firearm.
Yeah, and nobody got peppered, and nobody got sprayed. Homeboy got shot. The pattern from a shotgun at that kind of a close range is about a pie plate at best. Somebody's struggling in the hospital. What would happen if this happened in the woods between two people who were not involved in government? Would somebody be charged with a felony or something?
I believe that they're, you know, be on case-by-case basis, but I believe they would revoke their license, which should happen. And I think, you know, Mr. Dick Cheney goes for this once or twice a year NRA, pro-NRA kind of, you know, media glib thing. And you know, I don't care if it's Dick Cheney or Dick Smith, you know, it don't matter. He should be held accountable for it.
Well, I agree with...
You do not pull the trigger until you have both your eyes wide open, know what you're shooting at, and you better look directly behind that, or you do not pull a trigger. Number one rule of safety.
Yeah, these are very clearly taught to the kids. But what about, for example, you know, all these guys do this. They use it as a political premise. It's like when Kerry was running for president and he came out against gun control, and then you put on the TV and here he is shooting ducks out of the sky somewhere up near Detroit or whatever that is. Everybody does this, and I don't believe that if unless you do this as a way of life, that that's something you should be doing. Do you agree or disagree?
I totally agree with you because I think this is like an NRA kind of media hype, and the president does it himself. You know, bottom line is when we hunt for quail also. We hunt for rabbit. We know where everybody's at. I would not hunt with somebody I do not know.
And you've been hunting you've been hunting since you were a kid?
Since I was a kid. 10 years old in the state of New Jersey is the legal limit for or the legal age for where a child can actually use a firearm.
And what you're saying is that even if you accidentally shot somebody, that you would lose your license. Is that correct?
I think they should. And I think, you know, he should not be barred from any kind of situation like that just because who he is. I mean, he definitely has to be held accountable for.
I think the situation will probably transpire in that for most people, one guy would sue the other guy. I kind of doubt that the fellow who's in the hospital is going to sue the vice president because they're buddies and there's a political issue in there. But wouldn't that happen also? In case I know I would sue somebody if they shot me by accident. And if I was wearing the right colors and it was clearly somebody's negligent shot, I would sue somebody. Would you?
Sue, that would be on a case by case, but I definitely would want him to be held accountable for his actions.
Interesting.
And you definitely should be held accountable for it.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Sure. You know, I just think that the president, vice president rather, you know, does not hunt all the time, and it shows. And for them to downplay, what they're doing, Dave, is they're downplaying by saying sprayed, peppered. You know, he was shot.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. Thanks for calling Roth Radio. No, nobody got sprayed. Nobody got peppered. He got plugged. He got shot. Homeboy's going to be eating applesauce through a tube for quite a few weeks after something like this. That's the kind of stuff that'll make you very late for the dance. Animal, have you ever gone hunting for animals with a rifle? You ever catch anything down in Alabama?
I've been possum hunting, squirrel hunting, rabbit hunting, you know, all of that. You know, I've did all of them.
And did you actually eat everything that you shot?
Basically, yeah, because that's what we do. You know, you don't kill what you're not going to eat. You know, there, you know, certain rules that you have to stick by. And just like fishing, you know, you go fishing, whatever, you can only catch so many. And the same thing went with hunting and stuff. But I didn't really hunt that much. But.
Okay, hold on 1 second here. I got a guest coming in. I believe she's coming in at 8 o'clock. This is Patty Boyd. And I believe that she was the gal, was she with George Harrison?
She originally married George Harrison. She was, in fact, Layla that Eric Clapton wooed.
Okay, but was this the gal who was involved when George Harrison had somebody break into his house?
No.
Because that's an interesting question, right? You know the story of somebody broke into the Beatles' house, George Harrison, right? And there was a big fight, and evidently his wife or somebody heard the noise surreptitiously. It was just an accident. She heard the noise, and I think she jumped into the room and stabbed the other guy. Okay? I'm wondering if we asked that woman, do you wish you had a gun at that point in time, what her answer would be. What do you think, man?
She might have accidentally shot the wrong guy, though. struggle going on, you don't want to be shooting.
Okay, nevertheless, I'm wondering if people who are generally Beatle fans, what if he had gotten stabbed to death and all she had was nothing in her hands? Do you now wish that she had a gun? Yeah. Could she have saved a Beatle's life? What if John Lennon had a gun, knew how to use it, and was still here today? Would you warrant that? Would you suggest that? Would you support that? Yeah, that's right. 866-313-3733. What if he knew how to use a sidearm, and when whoever that was popped out in front of the Dakota, drew down on him, and he sent the bad guy to heaven? Yeah, now you're thinking, okay, the Beatles themselves would naturally go against that. No, all we're saying is give peace a chance, and I understand that. I'm still raising the question. Would you have wished if it was you and not his wife? You're sitting in the other room. Somebody's trying to stab George Harrison while My Guitar Gently Weeps to death. Do you wish you had a gun before you stepped through that door? Brian, talk
Hell
to
yeah.
me.
Even the, yeah, totally.
What do you think, Sasha? Would, if you were sitting in the other room and somebody's stabbing one of the Beatles to death, do you wish now, before you step through the door, that you have a gun?
I do.
Exactly. 866-313-3733. Anyway, we got Patty Boyd coming up at 8 o'clock. And we also got Elizabeth Haight, our relationship columnist. Hey.
Elizabeth hot.
Coming in hot today.
Yeah. I wonder what she's going to say about this, huh? Anyways, take another call up here, man. The phones are super lit up here.
It's Joe.
Joe, you're on Roth Radio. What do you think, babe?
Diamond Dave, big fan.
Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, I wanted to say a couple of points. Real, you know, they were saying on Channel 5 this morning that the White House never even reported this until it was reported in a Texas news or like local newspaper.
So you think they're trying to bury it?
I think they definitely weren't trying to bring it to light until it was already out there.
So what is your take on this? Do you think that this kind of thing is legit? This just happens, or should there be some kind of a regulation about this kind of activity? Because you know that everybody who's anti-gun is now going to come swarming. Do you support it, or are you against it? What's up?
Well, you know, I don't know. I hope something comes. If it was on the other foot and he shot Dick Cheney in the face, he, like, conspiracy theories all over it.
You're absolutely right. I wonder what would happen.
I think, really, they should even see if he had the adequate permit to be hunting.
That's very interesting.
I wonder if a guy like Cheney has the time to apply for the adequate permits for all that.
That's a really interesting call.
Guarantee you he don't have it.
Dave. No, he doesn't have it. How hard is it to get a hunting permit, animal?
In L.A., it's almost impossible, but down south, they usually like give them away if you got the right, you know, credentials and stuff, you know?
I wonder if he's... This is a good point that this caller's thinking up here, because I really doubt that he went down and signed anything or took care of anything. There'd probably be some issue where he was on private property. Did the guy who get shot, was that his property they were on? Is that his ranch or whatever?
I don't know. They were interviewing a lady who actually owned the ranch, who was there on the site when it happened. So I don't think the guy who got shot owned the ranch.
This is interesting stuff. I wonder if they actually even caught anything. I wonder if they're actually eating what they catch, or if this is just some old boys wandering around. Thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. Corrine. You on. You mean, baby. Talk to me.
Hello. I want to say that your show is so interesting that I actually got on the wrong bridge, but I'm happy. Because I should have taken the Tri-Borough, but I think your show is fascinating, and thank you so much. And I want to say I'm happy that you stopped saying spraying, because spraying sounds like, but in a way it's appropriate to this vice president. It sounds like something macho, a macho animal function, you know?
Really spraying his territory.
Somebody. He shot somebody, and I feel your other caller made such an excellent point that this man and his karma is, this administration is so kind of macho and above the law, you know, and I just feel that his connections with Halliburton and the fact that Halliburton company gets all those government contracts and they're so incompetent, any other person would have been thrown out by now, you know. It would have been like a conflict of interest, but now he actually shot somebody because of his incompetence and his arrogance, and it's sad. I mean, I hate
Okay, well, let me expand the program just a little bit here, because I don't think that he shot somebody because of politics. I think he shot somebody because he made a gross error in judgment in not practicing with the firearm, okay? And I think that most guys are like that. You ask most any guy, how long do you own a pistol? Sure. How often do you practice with it? You're going to get quiet. And then they're going to go, oh, you know, pretty regularly. And most guys think, hey, you know what? I'm a guy. I'm macho. So's a gun. I can have some fun with this. I've seen enough television. I've seen enough movies. I've seen a few Broadway plays where they had a firearm. I know how this goes. I watch the military channel all the time, right? I know how this goes. This part goes in front. This part goes in back. And, you know, I'll just kind of know how it works because it's naturally, genetically imprinted in me. You just got to remember, the bad guy is saying the exact same thing.
Radio Row 6M.
Alright, ladies' choice, fellas, to the side of the shooting range, please. 866-313-3733. Isabel, she looks like she's going to call and give us a little hell here. Isabel, you're on Roth Radio. You're in the spotlight, babe. Go ahead.
Hello there.
Go ahead, Isabel.
I hate this whole topic.
Why do you hate this topic? It's a topic that's really, really relevant, especially to all the inner cities that we're working in. If you watch television, it's a constant issue. We've got police officers getting shot, some of them even accidentally by each other. This is a subject that is constantly in the news. Why do you not enjoy
because
talking about this?
I think that guns have a place, and I think they're too easy to get a hold of in America. It's just ridiculous, and they're used for all the wrong reasons.
So what is your solution?
I don't know that there is a solution. What is there a solution to anything in America? People talk, but does anybody really do anything?
Okay, you're talking about it, and there's millions of people literally who are listening to this now. As you've seen, I've received some illumination, some thoughts that I didn't think of coming in on the phones here today. Mm-hmm. It's part of the reason I took this gig. Seriously, there's a lot that I've learned coming from this, because people ask questions that you don't normally think of. And maybe that is how you share some kind of information. But you say that no. Are you saying that we should just ban the guns?
I'm not saying ban the guns. I think there needs to be more gun control. There needs to be more legislation on it. I mean, you look at Dick Cheney. How old is the man?
Well, he's old enough to know better. Do you agree?
Old enough to know better, yes. But as old as he is, how good is his eyesight? How good is his nerves, his ability to hold a gun?
My point exactly. And we're going to use the same kind of judgments that we do to operate a motor vehicle, perhaps. And when you get over a certain age, perhaps you even need to be checked again and again. Do you agree with that?
Exactly. Yes, I do. But I still say that the gun control in America is just out of hand. We don't use them for the right reason.
Well, so the condom issue, it was out of hand for a long time, and we weren't using those for the right reasons. And finally, we got off our big ass collectively and started talking and educating about what condoms are for. You don't think the guns are the same kind of issue?
Yeah, but I don't think I'd put a condom on a gun.
Well, actually,
I think that's a little different.
No, well, actually, we have a sex therapist coming up at about 9 o'clock, and she may disagree with you. I'm going to position the question.
But what can you do in America? This is what I'm saying. It's we the people, and it's the people that need to start taking control. And they're not going to because they're afraid.
Well, how can you possibly seek control if you don't know what the basic ingredients that you're asking for are? We say gun control. Great, that's like saying Twinkies. Aren't you interested in what's in the Twinkie before everybody just ingests it? Okay, what I'm suggesting is an educational program that at least alerts people to the possible dangers and all the possible things that can happen to guns, particularly for young people. Okay, do you agree or disagree with that?
No, I agree with that, but I still say after this incident is over. Every time you talk about something, back to the cartoon that you were talking about a week ago, you're going to talk, and all of a sudden, a month from now, 8 months from now, it's going to be forgotten. I'm 50 years old, and I've seen it happen over and over and over. Nobody really gets up, goes to the government, and does anything about it.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's because the American people have lost control. They're afraid. And I think we just need to start getting some backbone and step up to the plate.
I think that probably what's happening is that everybody agrees that there needs to be some kind of an education process involved in this. And that for so many generations now, the liberal left has been based on I, me, and my, as opposed to a group or a tribe or a community of people. It's all about my rights, me, my democracy, my way of life, etc. You've come a long way, baby. You deserve a break today because you deserve it, etc. It's about the individual, which sounds a lot like Republican, conservative, right-wing nonsense to me. You follow? When the liberals start talking, it's a lot of little individuals who just raise their voices individually. There's a lot of screaming and yelling, and when you hear interviews like this, usually in morning radio, if it's a liberal, they're just yelling over whoever calls until there's a big pile up of voices and a lot of accusations until finally somebody hangs up the phone or what have you. What I am is somewhere in between. I'm a hippie with a pistol, okay? I'm what's called a South Park conservative. My values are everything that is on the liberal left-hand side. I make my living with free speech, democracy, the right to the group, religious freedoms, etc., etc., personal freedoms, the rights of animals, the rights of my fellow human beings, etc., etc. But I do believe that there's a time and a place when you have to kind of have yourself in control, okay? For me, it's a question of having a fear of general public. I'm a public figure, and I've been hunted down before. So has my family. So I think there's a place for that kind of a firearm, for that kind of gun handling. However, I think that they need to have an educational program that starts with the kids. And every time I suggest this, the liberal left throws down and goes, what are you trying to do? Create an army, Dave? What do you think, sweetie? Are you up for this?
Yeah.
Okay, let's start right here. People ask me, well, what is the basics of gun handling, Dave? Okay, great. All guns are always loaded. You got to teach that to people right away. There's no such thing as don't worry, I unloaded it. It is loaded. There's no such thing as don't worry, my daddy says it's unloaded. Second, never put your finger on the trigger, because if you got to take it away from your 10-year-old brother while the police are on their way, you don't put your finger on the trigger. Second, situational awareness. You shoot the gun, you better be sure what's behind the target and what's behind that target and what's behind that target. Wait a minute, I just hit a 78-year-old. Uh-oh.
Right.
Broke the basic rule. And I think this kind of stuff has to be taught like driver's education. You don't agree or disagree?
Well, I agree, but what I don't understand is in Canada, they carry guns left and right. And their whole murder rate, everything, is so low compared to the United States. People in the United States get a hold of a gun, and the first thing they do is they want to point it and shoot it.
Okay, I love gross generalizations, especially when I'm drinking beer, but I'm not going to accept it this early in the morning, okay? Canada is not a good test zone compared to what the United States is. Here, we have communities of people who can barely speak to each other because of the language variations. Here, you have people who are constantly forced together. You got the Chinese in Chinatown talking to, fighting it out with the Boricuas, the Puerto Ricanos in my part of town, who are all afraid of the Jewish people, and on and on. That's the way America's always been. Perhaps a better example would be England or Australia, when they got rid of all the guns. Brutal crime, armed robbery, rape, assault, and everything skyrocketed to a point where it was almost 30% increase in each of those countries. And it still exists like that today. Now, talk to me.
Okay, so how are you going to get all this gun education out there with the liberals?
First, we're going to talk about it and talk about it and talk about it incessantly, as we have been. And you wouldn't believe the number of emails that come in from all kinds of resources, not just our listeners, but folks who are coming from government agencies as well. As you can hear, we have police officers calling in. We have individuals who are private gun owners, etc. And we seem to be aiming north. I don't get a whole lot of dissension when I'm talking about programs like this.
And tell you is I had someone break into my house a year ago. And if I'd had a gun in this house, and I've held a 9mm, and you get a lot of respect for a gun when you hold one.
I suspected there was a skeleton in your closet. Please
and
continue.
I'll tell you, had I had that gun here, I would have not picked it up and pointed it at her.
Why wouldn't you have picked it up and pointed it at her?
Because I'm just not the kind of person that believes that.
Okay, slow down. What if you had a shotgun that had the barrel plugged and all you did was stand behind your locked door and rack it so that that individual knows you have a shotgun, he can hear it through the door? Would that be acceptable to you?
I just don't believe in guns. I just think they're used for all the wrong reasons. I was taught that if you're attacked or someone's in your house...
Just lay down and show them your throat?
No, if it's long, you swing. If it's short, you stab. If it's wide, you block.
Somebody has given you an unloaded gun and you put it in your brain and you're walking around thinking that you're capable of self-defense, my friend. Ooh, good thing you turned into us. Go ahead.
How about a little fire, Scarecrow? Sie haben sich direkt zu David Lee Roth dazugeschaltet. Wie wäre es mit etwas Feuer, Vogelscheuche?
Okay. Monday, good day for complaining. You're listening to David Lee Roth here. Big Apple Water Park coming this summer. I'm already disappointed. A visit to the Big Apple always promised a great adventure. Times Square, Coney Island, and the Empire State Building. There was never a need for some trumped-up theme park in the land of Trump himself until now. Dig this. In the last bit of suburban creep into the nation's largest city, a family-themed water park is due before the summer of 2007 on a piece of Randall's Island. Y'all know where that is. That's the parkland at the juncture of the East and Harlem Rivers, right under the vast Triborough Bridge. And they're building a water park. This site is easily reachable by car or the footbridges, and the New York attraction is going to include wave pools, action rivers, wading pools, and plenty of slides. This is like a 7-acre thing. A 7-acre indoor beach will give New Yorkers a year-round attraction. That's the size of what? 8 football fields? Something
about
like that?
8 football fields, maybe 9.
Animal, are you a fan of water parks? Let's just start there. Go ahead.
Just recently when I learned to swim, I became fun of it. But when I wasn't swimming, I used to be very jealous of watching everybody swim. But now, you know, I can deal with it now, you know?
That's because I taught you how to swim.
That's because you taught me how to swim.
that's an interview in and of itself here. Are you a fan of water parks, Sash? Go ahead.
I've never been to one.
You've never been to one, but
no.
you've seen them, though.
I've seen them around here.
And what do you think of the way water parks look?
It's all very fake, and I'm not
cheesy.
Too into it. It's cheesy, yeah. I'm more into the real thing. I'd rather go to the beach.
It's a lot of plastic.
It is.
It's a lot of formica. It's a lot of urethane. It's a lot of, aluminum. It's a lot of ladders. It's a lot of plumbing.
The fake waves and, like, why?
Well, it also smells of chlorine because you're going to watch all those kids under 7 years old jump into that pool at 8:30 in their morning in the summertime when school lets out. And those kids are going to stay in that pool until 5 o'clock in the afternoon and not one of them's ever going to go out there to go to the bathroom at the men's room, okay? No, seriously. That's why it smells of chlorine like that. And people say, well, you know, if you got public swimming pools. I grew up with public swimming pools, okay? When I was born, my dad was just starting in college. We never had any money in the family until I was roughly 7-8 years old, okay? And we always went to public swimming pools and so forth. This is how I know intimately how this works. People say, well, you know, they put chemicals in it and purifies it. It disinfects it, right? You know, there's a little smell. It smells a little bit like Clorox, but, you know, it disinfects. Go ahead.
Dave, I noticed in your pool, you don't have chlorine in your pool because I didn't smell it. What chemicals do you use in your pool?
Well, we bless it 3 times a day. No, there's a different kind of filtration system because I hate that smell.
Oh, okay.
I hate that smell. Remember when you used to come out of swimming all day as a kid before you were a teenager and your hair was green? Well, down in my neighborhood, that flies for evening wear, but... not my current occupation here. No, there's a special filtration system that we use salt, that we don't have to use those chemicals because I maintain that, for example, here's how I explain it. Suppose I take a great big lobster pot and I fill it up with warm water, okay? And we all get in our bathing suits. We all get in our board shorts, okay? And I sit in it. Okay, I'm going to stick my butt in it. All right? There we go. I'm going to pass the pot over to Animal. Animal sit in it. Animal sits in it. He's wearing his shorts. He sits down in it, gets his butt deep down in that water, brings it up. We hand it over to Sasha. Sasha, you're so little, we're going to put your whole little body in the lobster pot there. We're going to soak you in it for about 7 minutes, okay? Then we're going to take you out of the lobster pot. We're going to take that pot full of water that everybody sat in, and I'm going to put some chemicals in it. And then I'm going to hand it back to you, Sasha, and go ahead, sweetheart, gargle. My point exactly. Look at that face. You could even see that face over the radio. Look at that. You got to look like somebody made your shorts get 6 sizes too small all of a sudden. Sasha has a look on her face like she sat in something very cold and very wet. And now you're getting a little bit put off of the public, public plumbing, whatever. And this is happening in all of these big cities here. I'm a big fan of New York City history. And when I see that now we're going to start populating and Disneyfying it with theme parks and stuff, look what happened down on Times Square. Okay, maybe it's better off. Maybe it's better off than the Midnight Cowboy porn story that it once upon a time was. What do you think? Go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's New York. It's dirty, it's gritty. Like, there's no need to make it beautiful and Disneyfied. It should be kid friendly, so they should, you know, be able to experience New York. But there is no reason to dull it down and make it suburban. It's not suburban. It's an urban.
So you think of water parks as being a suburban issue, huh?
Very, very, very suburban.
I would think so too. What do you think, Byung? Have you ever been to a water park?
Actually, I like that that slide at the Hard Rock in Vegas. The water slide, I went down about 50 times. That's like a little kid.
Okay, well, there's a couple of thoughts right there. Like a little kid, Las Vegas. Las Vegas is so that you can behave like a little kid. That's why they say whatever happens in Vegas is all allegations.
Where are they putting this water park?
This is going to go right under the Triborough Bridge, if I'm not mistaken. Yep, right under the vast Triborough Bridge where the East and the Harlem Rivers join. It's going to be impossible to ignore it. If you're over on that part of town, if you're flying flying over it. If I go over it in the helicopter with you guys, you'll think it's a piece of Disneyland, okay?
That's way uptown, right?
No, not way, way uptown. I think it's probably around 61st is where that part of the water is, okay? It's right up in that area there. So it's going to be unbelievably evident, even from airplanes that are coming in and landing or taking off, all right? And I'm wondering if anybody else agrees with me that we're starting to tear apart the history of the city. Routinely, every time, like down on the Lower East Side or the Village, you know, and so forth, where you have all this great old architecture, we're slowly but surely finding reasons to slice it off. Make it into a city walk. Make it into something that is theme park or Disneyfied for the family issue. I'm talking to Sasha here. You're 21, right, baby?
Yes.
And you agree with me?
I totally agree.
Because I would think that they're aiming this theme park, this kind of water park, at somebody like yourself, no?
Probably. Probably like myself, maybe a little bit younger, I think.
Okay, maybe they're looking for families as well? Well, what kind of families are going to be ascribing to that kind of thing?
Probably families from, I would assume, not families from New
tourists.
York, like tourists, like families from Jersey or maybe even Connecticut come see the city, see the beautiful Disney City and
well,
go
that's
to
a
the water park.
Yeah, well, that's a hell of a way to come see the city, is it not? This is now going to distract from all the movie theaters. This now distracts from Broadway. This now distracts from, you know, the museum issues, the restaurants, everything else that is New York. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going out of their way to pull tourists. I understand that. But I don't know that we'd want to go and start building the same exact thing that you're going to run into in every single other city across the country. Brian, you and I have toured constantly in the United States.
And we see the same mini malls with the same shops at every one. It's like they're all the same.
It's disgusting. And the same thing with the water parks, etc. You go down and you see it in Orlando at whatever Disney Village or whatever that is. And right under the water park is the Bob Marley Barbecue Shack. Oh, yeah. It's a big picture of Bob. Evidently, somebody in his family sold the rights. So now here's a picture of Bob on the front of a barbecue shack. And you see in the background, it's not an ocean. There's no beach. It's a water park. And that, to me, is just utterly artificial. What are we teaching our kids here? If you're going to take your kids to a water park, you lose out on the beach. Coney Island is only a seasonal thing, right? Mm-hmm. After that, you want to see something that artificial? I'm against it. 866-313-3733. Every single time they tear down some old historical building, they put up some garbage, faceless garbage that has all the personality of a boring soap dish, much like the people who designed this garbage.
Yeah, they should be spending the money on the zoo out here, because I heard they was getting rid of the elephants up here, man. I think that's very sad. What can you go to see elephants in New York City unless you go to the zoo? And I heard they were shipping them out by the summer, man. They should, like, try to do something with the environment to keep those elephants. They even get more elephants, because I think they only have, like, 3 or 4 over
there. You're talking about the Bronx Zoo?
Yeah, that's what they should do instead of making a water park.
Well, yeah, you know? I'm all for that. You're going to take the same kind of a space and create some kind of a game preserve, perhaps? I'm all for
something,
that.
Yeah.
Something that is a little bit more natural. We started off talking about, you know, what's natural, you know,
make a slide for the seals over there or something, Dave. You know, you need a sliding board, you know.
Anyway, go ahead and take one of the calls there, Hutch. Let's see what somebody else says. Hook them up. Roth on the radio. You're on, Dan. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Go ahead.
Just listen to what you're saying here. I definitely think that you got a great point when you're talking about areas like the Village and parts of the city where we do need to preserve that history and preserve that culture. But, you know, I think where this is coming from, I feel that, you know, there's so much revenue that goes to Jersey, that goes to, you know, Philadelphia, and there's other places where they do have these theme parks and great adventure and such. And I think maybe we're just trying to, you know, get that revenue into New York. And if we do have a spot where we can do something like that, then that, you know, that might be a great thing for us come summertime.
You can't think of a better idea than a water park?
Oh, I'm sure there's better ideas. You know, and I'm sure, you know, the average Joe could think of a better idea. But I think when the state of New York looks at revenue and looks at, you know, big business, and I think they see how much money these other parks pull in, you know, that maybe that's their fix to it. And I think maybe that's where it's coming from. And, you know, if it does generate some more revenue for New York where we can do some more positive things, then, you know, then maybe we should go for it.
Interesting call. So you are for this. You think that the water park is okay?
I think it's a good idea. I think there are definitely areas of New York that should stay untouched. You know, that kind of should be that that preserved point where we don't, you know, we don't do anything to it because it is New York and it is what it stands for and it is what it looks like. But, you know, if there is an area that we can do this, you know, that we can do something to say, hey, you know, let's not have people have to drive to Jersey. Let's not have people drive to Philadelphia or wherever else they have a...
Okay, slow down. One second. And whenever I'm in a quandary like this about this great city, this is the greatest crossroads perhaps in the history of time here. New York City, people come from all over the place. And whenever I'm not sure whether something applies to this city or not, I ask myself this question. What would Andy Warhol think of a water park? Go ahead and answer. What do you think he'd say?
Well, I think depending on the extremeness of the water park, I think he might be for it. I think there's definitely a theme that would have to be element. You know, I think he was someone who definitely had those, you know, who had some really wild ideas and someone who looked at things from a different angle than everybody else. And, you know, he might not look at it from the business angle that the reasons that it's going up is for. He might look at it from a, hey, you know, what can I use to get another message?
What can we do to personalize it New York City style?
Exactly.
Great. We'll fill the pool with Sabret's water. Here we go.
David Lee Roth, weekday mornings on 92.3 Free FM.